Madtown Mom Squad.
Mom!
Yes, indeed, we are back with the Madtown Mom Squad each and every Wednesday at 7:30. Moms, this is dedicated to you. Hardworking ladies, that is what we are talking about here today. First, I would like to introduce my fabulous co-host on the Madtown Mom Squad. Say hello to, of course, Shanna Powell. What's on, honey?
Good morning, girls.
Woo! Good to see you, love.
You too.
How are all the children?
They're good.
Yeah.
We went to the polls yesterday. That was fun.
Oh, you voted.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, I had to share that with them.
Of course, honey. Of course. Also, we have the beautiful Miss Karina Crade. Honey, how are you?
Hey, good morning and happy Wednesday, everyone.
Yay! How was your trip?
We went to Nashville. It was wonderful. Traveling with two under two in a van.
Yeah.
I mean, that was an experience.
That
Let's
was
just
all
leave
good.
It at that.
All right. I got you, girl. And of course, what a fabulous woman at that. Dr. Jazz Girl. How are you, love?
Good. Nice to see you.
Yes.
Nice to be back.
I know, right? I always get excited when I see my ladies every week. So listen, today's topic is a very tough one, a very serious conversation that needs to be had because this is no joke. The month of April is Child Abuse Awareness and Prevention Month. I'm very honored to have someone in studio that is gracing us on the airwaves today to share her story. And I'm trying not to get emotional. I know we all are because we're all moms. Sarah Deischer. A dear friend of mine. She's a fabulous woman out of Verona, married. She's a fabulous realtor, mother of two, Finn, who's a great kid at junior high, and Sydney Deischer, a senior at Verona High School. Also a wonderful husband of that. Today we are talking to Sarah Deischer because it is true. When it comes to child abuse and putting her baby when Sydney was a little one, into another person's hand, they decided that they would take it upon themselves to hurt this child. Sarah, again, I'm so happy that you are here because the strength, girl, of you is phenomenal. So thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Krista and ladies.
I want you to bring us back to the day when your life and your family's was changed forever.
Okay, so let's go back to 2001. The very first day that I dropped Sydney off at daycare was 9/11 of 2001. So our family has a different tragedy that kind of happened for us on that day. Well, not specifically that day, but she was in the daycare and doing really well, flourishing for the first 4 weeks of her time there. And then let's fast forward to October 29th of 2001. Normally, the daycare had an open door policy, which was part of our requirement. And I went to pick her up, and the door was locked. So I rang the doorbell, and the daycare provider's 10-year-old son answered the door, and he was very obviously upset. And I went in, and it was just the energy in the house was really chaotic and different from most days. Typically, I stayed to nurse Sydney and kind of just find out about her day. But that day, I just knew in my heart that something was wrong. So I located her. She was sleeping in a pack and play. And when I picked her up, she was like a rag doll. She had broken capillaries all over her face. She had a red nose, much like Rudolph. She was listless. She had glassy eyes. So my husband was in grad school at the time, and I couldn't locate him. So I called my mom, who lived 5 minutes from the daycare, and she met me at her house. And then we went to the immediate care, where I wasn't real happy with the answers that I got there. But we went home, and things kind of progressed from there and ended up having to go to the ER that night. So... I think, you know, when we ended up taking her into the ER, I knew in my heart that something was wrong with her head, but we had several different physicians in the room, residents, and they were doing a lot of different tests. It was really hard to see, like, my child go through different tests. They did a spinal tap. They told us that she maybe had leukemia because of the facial bruising. So it was a very emotional day that day. And I did it until evening without my spouse because he was trying to do things for our family to make our family better. So yeah, that was the day that our lives changed.
Again, being a parent and realizing that the most precious thing about your life is your child, and to see that again, someone else has put their hands on them is devastating.
Sarah, it's hard for me to even get through a question here, and thank you so much for being in here, and your strength is powerful, and I can feel it from over here. You know, you touched a little bit on realizing child abuse, but can you touch on that a little bit for anybody else that might be wondering? Or, you know, you talked about your gut instinct as a mama.
Sure. So we were in the ER, and I just kept saying, no, it's not leukemia. No, it's not. She doesn't have spinal meningitis. And so I finally ended up asking for them, demanding basically for them to call the pediatrician on call into the ER that night. And when they did, he listened to me. He sat down and he said, what are you feeling? And I said, I feel like there's something wrong with her head, that something is wrong with my baby's brain. And so they did a CT scan, and she went into her CT with her bunny. That was her, couldn't leave home without it. And we waited for the results. And when they came back and told us that they had answers, it was really hard to hear what had happened, or what was wrong with her. She had subdural hematomas on two parts of her brain. She had a skull fracture, and she had retinal hemorrhaging in both eyes. So at that point, we knew, now we now had answers, but we had to figure out, how did this happen? And of course, now that we had answers, the authorities were called, and we were the first to be interviewed as suspects. So that was another challenge that we had to overcome, is just feeling like, oh no, we did not do this to our baby.
Right, I can't even imagine.
The belief that this is actually occurring here in a reality of Madtown and so many others. I mean, sharing your story again, it is shocking to me, Sarah, and to even look at Sydney right next to you, that this, you know, this beautiful little thing, someone would even put their hands on.
Yep.
And Dr. Jazz, you, girl, you see this. I mean, you're a pediatrician doctor. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. First of all, again, so sorry that that happened, and thank you for your strength of being here and using that situation to help bring awareness to this issue. Definitely over my years of training, sadly, hearing this story, I already knew in my head, oh, they probably saw subdural hematomas, they look for the retinal hemorrhages, because I've seen a lot of cases of this, and it definitely is sad. But I think the great thing about it is to talk about it and to find, empower other people in the community, other parents, other caregivers, to speak up about this, and if they're concerned at all, to report their suspicions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that night, we were told that if she made it through the night, if she made it through the night, she would most likely have blindness in both eyes and have cerebral palsy due to the damage to her brain. So hearing that, you know, I basically fell to my knees, and it was a hard diagnosis and a hard pill to swallow. But she's here today, as you can see. Next
to me. Yes. Beautiful.
Gorgeous girl.
Yes.
Sarah, let's talk about the steps to investigating the daycare facility.
So the incident happened in Fitchburg. So the Fitchburg Police Department came and again, took my husband in one room and myself in another and questioned us as suspects. My OBGYN was actually in the ER that night and knew that it took us 2 years to conceive her, and basically said they didn't do this. And the detective told us within seconds, he could tell that we had not done this. So I gave the address of the daycare. Meanwhile, another mom was bringing her baby into the emergency room with the same exact symptoms as Sydney. So they found out that he was also at that daycare. Same day. Ultimately what happened was, we had an amazing, amazing detective who went over to her house and used his police forensic psychology on her, and she admitted to everything she had done. So I think he basically said, you need to tell us what you did so we know how to treat these babies so we can save their lives. She admitted to shaking Sydney at least twice, dropping her from her waist to her head to the floor, and suffocating her to get her to stop crying. So that was what the Rudolph Red Nose was. That's called the tachyae. And it is from the being squeezed so hard that the blood vessels break. So that was the major day of the investigation, is her admitting to everything, and then came back to tell us what she had done. And then the doctors knew how they would have to treat this. And we had an amazing neurosurgeon, pediatric neurosurgeon, who didn't leave our side, and we were getting head measurements like every hour to make sure that the swelling in her brain was going down on its own or if she needed surgery. So we were in the hospital a little over a week, and they brought in a big crib so I could sleep with her. I did not leave the hospital, not once. I slept in her crib with her most times. So, but then the investigation just kind of went on. She went to jail immediately. Mm-hmm. And then they interviewed other families that had been there. So that's kind of, she made our lives easy, at least in having a little bit of a conscience to admit that what she had done.
Again, we are speaking with Sarah Deischer, a mother, a powerful woman who fought for her child, Sydney Deischer, who at the time was a baby. Another provider, daycare, had taken care of her, and she did not. She put her hands on Sydney, and she hurt this child severely. And again, you fought along with your husband for her life, and you won, and you put this woman away. As I think we all agree, this woman should never have been let out.
So I'm sure you did a lot of research in finding a daycare in the beginning. What did you do? Like, what kind of research did you do and like originally went before you put her in the daycare?
So we had the discussion, my husband and I, on whether or not we wanted an in-home versus a large center. And it was important to me that in her early months and early, like the first year, that she get a lot of one-on-one attention and hands-on. I was a nursing mom, and it was super important to me that whoever we chose would be willing to deal with that, frozen breast milk and all of that stuff. So we, of course, asked for recommendations, and we got a recommendation for this woman. She taught classes on why you should never shake a baby. Mm-hmm. She taught classes on making your own baby food, which I wanted to do. So I was like, oh my gosh, I could learn so much from this person. You know, being a new mom, I wanted to learn as much as I could. And she was a mom of a 10-year-old and a 2-year-old. She worked in large daycare centers throughout our city and came highly recommended. But given that it was an in-home, we also wanted to make sure that if her husband was ever home, that we knew about him. Because mm-hmm. If he was ever around our baby, we wanted to know he was okay. So we not only checked out her, but we checked out him. The day we went for the interview, we made sure he was there. It just so happened that he worked for an organization where we knew others that worked, so we were able to actually check references on him as well. And everything came out amazing. Like, this was a dream come true for a first-time mom. We asked about what her procedures would be for, you know, making sure that, like, the other toddlers that were there, her son and one other, you know, they wouldn't hurt her because she was just a 4-month-old. And she had lots of great techniques. She had this front carrier thing that she was going to put her in when they had playtime, and everything just checked out. It checked all the boxes. One thing that I wanted to make sure, because as a new mom and a professional, I was knowing that I was going to be, I had a little bit of like flex in my day. I wanted to make sure that she was okay with having an open door policy. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is any given day, I can come unannounced, not ring the doorbell, not knock, not announce myself, and just walk in. And she was like, absolutely, that is no problem at all. So I kind of kept it real with her, and I did that. If I had a client on the west side of town and I finished early, I went over unannounced, walked in, went to my baby, and the first 4 weeks there, 5 weeks there, everything was amazing. Like, I'd walk in and she'd be in the papoose, or I'd walk in and she'd be in the bouncy chair, and everything was great. So I highly recommend that when you are looking, that you do ask about the open door policy. I never wanted to show up and have a locked door. That just sent bad vibes to me. So that's kind of the process that we went through. Checked lots of references and everything came out great.
Again, it's a Madtown Mom Squad. Today's topic, very real right here, talking about Child Abuse Awareness and Prevention Month. Again, a beautiful mother who has done what she needed to do to fight for her child, Sydney Deischer. We will be discussing more with this beautiful mom. We are on Facebook Live. Also, if you have questions for this mom or for Dr. Jazz, Shanna, or Karina Crade, give us a call at 321-0931. More to come on 931 Jam.
Mom!
Yes, we are back with the Madtown Mom Squad. Each and every Wednesday, we share with you all mom topics that are dedicated to these hardworking women out there. Again, the month of April is Child Abuse Awareness and Prevention Month. And today, we have in special guests Sarah Deischer and Sydney Deischer. Sarah has been sharing her story about what had happened to her beautiful daughter when she was baby. She put her in the hands of another daycare provider, and that person thought they would take it upon themselves to hurt her child. She went and she fought and she won the case, and she put this woman away.
Well, Sarah, again, thank you for being here. Such a hard topic, but you know, one thing I wanted to ask you, what happened to this woman? You know, I mean, that's a tough topic.
Yeah, I continued to fight and advocate for Sydney through the medical system, but then came the court system. We were the both of the systems were, I'm not going to lie, at times frustrating. But when we first sat down with the DA's office, we were told, you know, this is a really hard thing to prosecute, and we could end up getting only 5 years. and I said, nope, that's not going to work for me. So, when she knew that shaking a baby could kill a baby, that to me is attempted homicide. But that was a really hard thing to try to prosecute. So because there were two families involved, two children, they just decided to go for all these different counts of child abuse with an add-on because she was a care provider. She admitted to everything, so we didn't really have to go through the process of the court system in that we didn't have to have a trial, so to speak. But I demanded to have our words heard. So we were guaranteed a week of our time in court in her sentencing hearing. So we were able to, we had to have experts come in. We had an expert, child abuse expert, bring in a forensic doll and demonstrate to us the impact of what she had to do and how hard she had to shake Sydney to cause the damage that she had done. That was really hard to watch as a parent. And we were given the option to leave, but I wanted to know. So this kind of became my full-time job. My employer was amazing. They let me, you know, have all the freedom in the world to take care of what I needed to take care of. Continued to go back to the doctor. And then in the court system, we ended up fighting for her to get 25 years in the system. Mm. She got 14 years in prison and 11 of extended supervision. So we beat everything that we ever imagined we would get, and we were extremely happy about that.
It's wonderful. I mean, if any good can come out of this, I mean, that she was locked away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's out now, but she's in her supervision years. And, you know, I just want to say, like, we're lucky, we're fortunate. Sydney is with us today. I got to celebrate all of her temper tantrums and everything else that happened throughout life because we celebrate those when we could have lost her. Uh-huh. So we celebrated that, and she's with us today. She's off to college next year as a pre-dental major.
Yeah, congratulations. Beautiful, smart,
everything.
So child abuse has nothing on this one, but we are one of the fortunate ones. Where not everyone is as fortunate.
Yeah.
Dr. Jazz, when it comes to letting people know as far as the abuse in itself, your expertise real quick.
Yeah, I'll just share a quick little blurb from American Academy of Pediatrics. Just some things, if you're listening, if you're moved by this story, if you're listening, that you can share this information. Here's some signs that might mean a child is being abused. Any unexplained injuries, injuries that don't make sense, a child who seems sad and cries a lot or is aggressive, acts out towards others or pets, child with trouble sleeping, seems afraid of adults, reluctant to go home after school, may be a victim of abuse. Abusive parents often stay away from other families, avoid school activities, could refuse to talk about the child's injuries or seem nervous. So if you have any suspicions at all, make sure to call your local child protective agency or talk with a pediatrician. But the actual number to call in Dane County is 608-261-KIDS. During business hours, but then after hours, 608-255-6067. So if you have any suspicions, then make sure to speak up because kids' lives are at risk. I've seen kids die from this, so I'm so happy that you're here. And did you have some words that you want to share?
Well, just that I'm so grateful to be here and to be able to raise awareness, even, you know, 17 years later, just telling our story. And thank you so much for having us here.
Again, Sarah Deischer, a beautiful, strong mom who went on her intuition, looking at her baby one day and saying something is not right with her. Again, she did what she needed to do, fought and won the case of this beautiful young lady that is right in front of our eyes. Yes. Again, Sydney, you are a beautiful lady and you do what you do, girl. You keep doing your thing. Shanna, Dr. Jazz, Karina, I want to thank everybody as well on our Facebook who has been chiming in. Samantha, Shalisha, Heidi, lots of love is being thrown out to you girls today. Again, if you have witnessed abuse, you need to let someone know. If you think you're going to put your hands on a child, you might as well call the cops right now and put yourself in, because we will not stand for this. No mom, no parent, no dad. No one will stand for this. Keep your hands off our children. It's the Madtown Mom Squad. We'll be back at it next Wednesday on 93.1 Champs. Yeah. Rush.